Hi there, listener. Before we dive in, I want you to know that this podcast is AI generated. It's crafted from the topics and principles shared in the Bye Bye Panic Anxiety Recovery Program. And while AI helps bring this content to life, the recovery tools and insights remain rooted in the principles that have helped so many people overcome their symptoms for good. Enjoy the episode.
Okay, let's unpack this one, deep divers. It's something, well, almost everyone bumps into, but feels incredibly isolating when it happens. We're talking about those thoughts, you know, ones they just sort of ambush your mind, the ones you never choose to think, those terrifying what ifs that just loop and loop, or maybe disturbing images that make you feel like a prisoner in your own head. So many of you describe that feeling, that awful frustration when you try everything, meditating, pushing them away, and it feels like they get louder. So our mission today, it isn't just to talk about these thoughts. You probably know them way too well already. We want to dig into why they happen, why our usual reactions often backfire, and most importantly, map out a path to maybe rewrite that script, find some real freedom, some hope.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here, and honestly often a huge relief for people to hear, is that these aren't just random. They're not some, you know, sign of malice from within. They're very often a symptom, a really powerful one, actually, of what we sometimes call an anxious brain, or maybe more accurately, a sensitized nervous system. It's like your system is stuck on high alert, constantly scanning for danger, even when there's no actual external threat present. And in that state, the brain, it tends to latch onto the most shocking thoughts, bizarre stuff, even horrifying things. Often it's the exact opposite of who you really are. Like, think of a really loving parent who suddenly has this fleeting, awful thought about harming their child. The key thing is the fact that these thoughts bother you so much that they cause such distress. That's actually really strong proof. It shows they're just noise, they're meaningless, not a reflection of you.
That distinction right there, that feels huge. That they're a symptom, not you. It kind of leads us right into, well, what are these things really? Maybe think about it this way. If these thoughts were genuinely dangerous, truly reflecting your intentions, wouldn't something have actually happened by now? So the core idea we really want to hammer home today is that intrusive thoughts are fundamentally just an offset of a sensitized nervous system. They're not some deep, dark secret you're hiding. They're a consequence. Your brain's on high alert, misfiring like an old alarm bell. It's not you choosing them.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it really helps to see the difference between just thoughts and actual thinking. It's kind of counterintuitive, but we have almost zero control over the thoughts that just pop into our heads. I mean, think about it. Your brain spits out thousands of thoughts a day. They're passive, like clouds just floating by. They're influenced by your mood, your history, subconscious stuff, even just random neural static, you know? We can't control which ones show up. Thinking, though, that's different. That's an active engagement. That's you deciding to grab onto a thought, analyze it, wrestle with it, give it importance. So while you can't stop a thought from appearing out of nowhere, you absolutely can choose whether or not to engage with it. And that shifts everything. The focus isn't the thought itself, it's how you respond.
Okay, that makes sense. Passive thoughts versus active thinking. And that really shines a light on where we get stuck, doesn't it? Because it's so easy, almost automatic, to fall into these traps when the thoughts hit. Our default reactions, trying to fight them, figure them out, push them away, distract ourselves, these usually don't just fail. They actually reinforce the cycle. They make the thoughts stickier, stronger. Think about your own response. What happens automatically? Do you freeze up, panic, maybe rush to Google, desperately looking for answers or reassurance, or just try to shove the thought down? Recognizing those automatic habits is so critical. Because your reaction, that's the gatekeeper. It decides if the thought lingers or just fades.
Right. And this raises an important question. Why don't those natural reactions work? Why are they often unhelpful, even harmful? We've sort of identified these five Fs that tend to keep people stuck. They end up feeding the anxiety without realizing it. Let's break them down. First, there's fixing. That's the mental effort to solve the thought, dissect it, find a reason for it, then fighting, resisting it, pushing it away, suppressing it, trying to argue with it. Next is focusing. That's obsessing, ruminating, replaying it over and over in your head. The fourth F is fearing, treating the thought like it's a genuine, real danger, either to you or someone else. And lastly, frustration, just getting really upset, angry, or desperate every single time the thought shows up. See, your brain learns from what you pay attention to, what you react strongly to. So when you engage, resist, or fear a thought, you're basically teaching your brain, hey, this is important, this is dangerous. And that keeps the whole exhausting cycle spinning. Yeah. Figuring out which of these you might be doing, even unconsciously, that's really empowering. It's the first step to choosing differently.
Okay, so if fighting, fixing, focusing, fearing, and frustration just keep us stuck, what do we do? How do we actually turn down that internal alarm that's screaming danger all the time? This brings us to something really practical, a strategy we call the alarm method. Now that we get that these thoughts are just symptoms, this gives us a total new way to respond. It's about retraining your brain, not battling it. And that feels like a really powerful shift, like taking back control.
Precisely. The alarm method isn't magic. It's very deliberate. It's a step-by-step process. Mm-hmm. It's designed to systematically teach that sensitized nervous system to stop seeing these internal blips as real threats. So let's walk through the steps for when an intrusive thought pops up. Okay, first step, acknowledge. This just means notice the thought without reacting. You might literally just say to yourself, oh, hey, there's that thought again. Like you're just noticing it. The key is calm observation, not engagement. Think of it like a notification on your phone. You see it pop up, but you don't have to click it. The goal isn't making it vanish instantly. It's creating a little bit of space between the thought and your usual reaction.
Okay, just noticing sounds simple, but when the thought feels really scary, how do you stop that automatic panic? Like, what does without reacting actually look like when your heart's already pounding?
That's a really good question. Without reacting means you're consciously choosing not to do those F behaviors we just talked about. You're not pushing it away. You're not analyzing it. You're definitely not judging yourself for having it. You're just an observer. Imagine it's like a loud car alarm going off down the street. You notice the noise, right? But you probably don't run outside to investigate or yell at the car. You just mentally note, ah, car alarm, and then you carry on. It's about unhooking the emotion from the thought. Second step, label. This is where you actively recognize this is just anxiety. It's not reality. You can literally label it in your mind, call it a false alarm or anxiety thought or maybe brain static.
Right.
Giving it that label helps you externalize it, creates distance. It stops being this terrifying personal truth and becomes what it is, a symptom, a glitch in the system. And that instantly reduces its power, you see.
Yeah, I like that. Labeling it false alarm really does demystify it, makes it less scary and vague. Okay, so we've acknowledged it, we've labeled it. What's next?
Third step is accept. Now, this is crucial. This doesn't mean accepting the thought's content as true or agreeing with it, not at all. It means allowing the thought to be there without resistance. It's completely different from fighting it. You're just acknowledging its presence, like, well, like a fly buzzing around the room. You don't like the fly, but chasing it around just makes it buzz more wildly, right? Accepting its presence, just for that moment, reduces that internal struggle. It's letting go of the need for the thought to not be there right now. Fourth, you refocus. So once you've acknowledged, labeled, and allowed the thought to just be, you consciously shift your attention back to the present moment. Gently bring your focus back to whatever you were doing before the thought hit. Or if you were just sitting, notice your breathing or the sounds around you, or maybe focus on a simple task. This isn't distraction like trying to run away from the thought. It's a deliberate redirecting of your attention, putting your focus where it serves you better.
That's a really key difference. Not running, just redirecting.
Okay.
And the fifth, final step.
Finally, step five is move on. This means letting go of trying to figure the thought out. Just go back to living your life. End the engagement. Don't linger on it. Don't check back in 5 minutes to see if it's gone. Don't analyze how well you did the steps. Just resume your day. This whole method, done consistently, it actively retrains your brain. It teaches it, step by step, that these thoughts aren't actual threats. They're irrelevant noise, false alarms that don't need the five-alarm fire response. And over time, yeah, the alarm goes off less often. And when it does, it's quieter.
That sounds like a really solid plan, but, you know, let's be honest. After you do the steps, it's so tempting to do that little check-in, isn't it? To sort of mentally poke around and see, is it gone? Am I feeling better? Did that work? But the checking, even if it's subtle, it actually keeps the thought important. It keeps that mental tug of war going. So instead, it sounds like we need this, like, firm decision. Doesn't matter if it's here or not. I'm just not engaging. A real commitment.
That's exactly it. This idea of active non-engagement is so, so powerful. It's really the long-term key. It means making that conscious choice again and again not to interact with the thought, even when it feels hard, because those old habits are strong. Remember the cloud analogy. Thoughts are like clouds passing in the sky. They come, they go. You don't need to fight a cloud or run from it or chase after it trying to figure it out. You just notice it and then you keep walking. You continue with your day. When you actively don't engage, when you stop feeding the thought with fear or attention, you give your nervous system space. The adrenaline can just burn off naturally. And slowly, surely, you teach your brain these thoughts aren't dangerous. They're just mental weather.
I know for a lot of people listening, there's this nagging fear, this little voice that whispers, yeah, but my case is different. Or these thoughts are never going to stop. That belief itself could be such a huge barrier, right? But it's so crucial to remember you are absolutely not alone in this. Countless people have walked this path, faced similar thoughts, and found their way through. Freedom is possible. It takes work, consistent effort, yes, but it's not a life sentence. It's a chapter. And you really do have the power to turn the page.
And that brings up another really important point, getting comfortable with discomfort. Anxiety, especially from intrusive thoughts, it tends to shrink our window of tolerance. You know, that zone where we feel capable and can handle things. When anxiety spikes, that window gets tiny. We feel overwhelmed, easily triggered, maybe even numb. The real key here is internalizing that intrusive thoughts are not dangerous, just uncomfortable. That shift is massive. Because if they're just uncomfortable, not dangerous, then you can start to gently expand that window again. You learn to sit with the feeling bit by bit without needing to fight it or fix it immediately. It's definitely a practice, not an overnight fix, but it consistently builds your resilience. Your capacity to handle discomfort grows.
And layered on top of the discomfort is often so much judgment, isn't there? We beat ourselves up. I shouldn't think this. I must be a bad person. But here's the truth, and it's so liberating. You are not your thoughts. We really can't say that enough. They don't reflect your character, your morals, who you are deep down. Reacting with judgment, that just tells your brain, whoa, this thought is really bad, which paradoxically makes it more likely to pop up again. It strengthens the emotional hit. It's such a subtle but vital shift to just observe without condemning yourself.
Spot on. When you can just see a thought for what it is, just a thought, a bit of mental noise without judging it or identifying with it, it loses its grip. It loses its emotional charge. And it just subsides. Think about it. Experts estimate we have something like 60,000 thoughts a day. 60,000. You don't engage with all of them, do you? Of course not. Notice which ones you do get stuck on, which ones you interact with, analyze, fear. It's almost always the ones that scare you the most. That shows you right there. It's our engagement, our reaction that fuels the whole thing. Choose not to engage, not to judge, not to identify. The thought just passes, like countless others do every single day.
Wow. So we really covered some ground today, deep divers.
Yeah.
A whole journey. We started with understanding what these thoughts really are, symptoms, not threats, just noise from an anxious system. Then we looked at those traps, those five Fs that keep us spinning our wheels. And most importantly, we walked through the alarm method, those practical, empowering steps for actually retraining your brain. Remember, recovery isn't always a straight line. Thoughts might still pop up now and then. That's okay. The real game changer, the question that matters is, when they do, how do you respond? With practice, with that consistent act of non-engagement, they lose their power. Your brain learns they're irrelevant, and they really do fade.
So what does this all mean? Where do you go from here? I really want to encourage you to think bigger than just feeling better or getting back to normal, although that's huge, of course. Try framing this journey as something more profound. It's about learning to trust yourself again, rebuilding that inner confidence. It's about breaking free from all the ways, big and small, that anxiety has maybe been holding you back. Who do you want to become on the other side of this? Truly free from that fear, that internal battle, taking these steps, applying these principles consistently, that's a vital part of a guided healing journey. Don't underestimate that. Every single step forward, every time you choose non-engagement, every time you practice the alarm method, that's a huge step towards reclaiming your life. So keep exploring this stuff. Keep practicing this new way of responding. Understand that continued learning, continued action, those are your next crucial steps towards lasting freedom, towards a life lived truly on your own terms.